Welcome back to our study of the Gospel of Jesus. Now, we've been talking about and learning about some PowerPoints that can help us when we present the Gospel. There's a time for teaching and there's a time to proclaim. Well, right now, we're in the teaching phase. And we want to get this, the message of the Gospel, deep in our hearts so that we can clearly articulate it when the time comes. Now, if you're looking in your study guide with me, I want you to flip to the end, please. Guidelines for presenting the Gospel. And we're going to talk about this evening. Now, we can take that word guidelines and run with it. I want to caution you. We are in no means saying there is a step-by-step formula that must be followed. What we are saying is that you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. However, in that same breath, if we're going to accurately tell the good news of Jesus, then we need to tell the complete story from beginning to end. Now, I'm a little passionate about this. I'm passionate about this because, and I mentioned this to you, I believe, on the first night, I honestly had never heard the Gospel presented from beginning to end. I heard pieces, parts of Jesus' life. I heard just enough about Jesus that I knew that I wanted him. I knew I wanted him in my heart. But I had never heard somebody present the Gospel beginning with the virgin birth and going all through the life of Jesus to the commission and the ascension. So, there is purpose in this systematic teaching. There is purpose in going through these PowerPoints. Speaking of these PowerPoints, have you been reviewing these PowerPoints? Have you been saying them over and over and over and over? All right, well, let me hear them. Virgin birth, sinless life, powerful ministry, suffering, death, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, ascension, commission. Very good. You have been rehearsing, haven't you? Very good. You're rehearsing to get it on the inside of you. You're not rehearsing to have some the formula memorized. Do you understand the difference? I want you to understand the difference. Now, we said from day one of this study that there is power inherent in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Within the message itself, there's power. However, the person presenting must believe, and the person receiving must believe for that power to be manifested. But this gospel message of Jesus Christ has the power to save, the power to heal, and the power to deliver. I hope, my prayer for you all is that you have really been pondering on that the Lord has been speaking to you about this. Because so often, there's a misconception, there's a misunderstanding that the gospel just equals salvation, but salvation eternal life. They equate just salvation with eternal life. And when we do that, we're not reaping all the benefits. Remember, that's why we've camped down on that word salvation. So we understand that it means save, heal, deliver. And when we understand that's what it means, then yes, the gospel message is the power of salvation. Now, when we present this gospel message, we ought to present with an anticipation, an expectation that people will be saved, that people will be healed, that people will be delivered. The expectation, not that you're forcing anything, not that it's your job to make sure results, you see results. The Lord's going to take care of that. That's His job. Our job is to believe. That's our job, believe. Now, people should be. The purpose of this gospel is so that people should be saved, healed, and delivered. The desired results will not be accomplished unless the gospel is properly presented and allowed to do what it is sent to do. Well, let's talk about this properly presented. We hit on this a little bit at the beginning of class, didn't we? Properly presented means you're going to give the complete picture, all of the good news. You're not going to give some of the news, you're going to give all of the good news. Which there's a message in that today. You think about the news you turn on. You watch the news. They don't give you the full story. They give you what they want you to know. Just a snippet here, snippet there. Take something out of context. Well, when we present this good news, we're not taking anything out of context. We're presenting the whole story. Because the message that is being presented has the power to change somebody's life. So we want them to make an informed decision, a decision with the heart. We want them to have all the facts about Jesus. If this is the one that you're saying that you want to give your heart to, your life to, you want him living in your heart, then I want you to know everything about him. And let me tell you about him. Starts with his virgin birth. Then it moves to a sinless life, his powerful ministry, and we go right down all the way through. Am I making myself clear here? I'm not trying to be redundant. But what I want you to understand here is that people need all of the gospel. And if you're going to present a story that makes sense, if you're going to give some news that people have a chance of understanding, that they can comprehend, then it makes sense to start at the beginning and then move to the middle and then go to the end. That's how people comprehend. You can't understand something if you're jumping here to there and people are trying to connect the dots and figure out what it is you're saying. So when we talk about properly presenting the gospel, We're talking about what we're saying here is presenting in a way that people can understand. And that also includes not using big fancy church words. You know what I'm talking about. Words that you've heard all your life and still can't really define yourself. We don't need to be spewing those words out. When we present the gospel, we're not presenting to try to make ourselves look good. You know who the focus is on? Jesus. Jesus is the focus of the message. So we don't need to use complicated language. We need to speak in a manner that everybody can understand. We need to speak in such a way that people who have never, ever heard of Jesus can understand who He is and what He's done for us. So that's what we mean. And Pete can elaborate on this, but properly presenting. You know, if you're going to build a house, you start with the foundation. And you work your way up. Well, we're doing the same thing. It's just like what writers do. Start at the beginning and you build your way up to the climax. I'm not going to talk about His ascension if I haven't even mentioned His birth. Does that make sense? So there are certain guidelines that should be followed when presenting the gospel. Salvations, healings, miracles, and deliverances are not automatic. Why are they not automatic? What are all these things depend on? Salvation, healing, miracle, and deliverance. What do they depend upon? Faith. Faith. How does faith come by here? How does faith come? By hearing whom? By hearing God speak. So when the Gospels present it, a person should be hearing God speak. Not a person, not a man, not a woman, but God speak. And if they're hearing God speak, they're going to be fully persuaded that this is the one that can save me. This is that eternal being that can save me from my sins. This is the one that can heal me when doctors can't. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. She went to doctors for him at 12 years, spent all her money. What about deliverance? How does that come? How are chains broken? How are captives set free? By faith. By faith. By faith in Jesus. But you know, we're talking about people receiving. But the person delivering also has to believe. Because the Lord needs somebody. He needs to have a conduit for His power to flow through. And you can clog up that pipe with unbelief, and that power's not going to flow. If I don't believe that this message can actually heal, can actually deliver, then guess what? It won't. If I don't believe that the power of God's going to be there when I present the message, then guess what? It won't, because I won't allow it. Do you understand how this works?
I want to talk about this, how to receive when you present the gospel of Jesus, obviously. But when you present the gospel, you have to give instructions to the people on how to receive. In other words, what is it that they need to do? Obviously, you've got to believe. It's faith. But then there's other instructions. For instance, if a person is wanting to be saved, convert from whatever religion into Christianity or whatever, then it's just a simple thing of you believe this message and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and then you acknowledge that. That's the simple side. Now, when it comes to healing, there's a different instruction. If you're here tonight and you have a sickness, a disease, or whatever in your body, then as a point of contact to release your faith, where the power of God can flow into you, then you just touch that part of your body that you're having a problem with. If it's a thinking problem, then touch your head. You know, those brain issues, touch your head. If you have a heart issue, then touch your heart. Or any part of your body, you lay your hand on that as that's the part you want healed. Okay? Then when they do this, then you pray. You take the authority over the sicknesses, the diseases, the demonic spirit, whatever the Spirit of God is bringing up. There's no canned program. I don't even know what I'm going to say. It just comes, you're relying on the Holy Spirit that's going to speak out of you the things that need to be said with the people, but you put them in a posture to receive. People need a point of contact, if you will, to release their faith. Okay? And so this is the way it's done with the healings or with the miracles. The deliverances, you just take an authority over the demonic spirits that have the people in that place bound. You take authority over them in the name of Jesus, that they be loosed, and you command them to be loosed. You're not touching anybody. This is proclamation. And again, I remind you of Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach. What's that? Proclaim. That's a proclamation. To preach the gospel to the meek, those who will listen, those who are humble, those who don't think too highly of themselves. And He says, He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those whose hearts are broken. He sent me to preach, that's proclaim, deliverance to the captives. So during your message, you're proclaiming their freedom. You proclaim their freedom. The Lord will set you free from all this demonic oppression, depression, or possession. God will free you from all this. You just receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you be free. And you pray, taking authority in that particular vein. This is what we mean by instructing the crowd, if you will. Or if you're dealing with an individual, instruct the individual on whatever they... It's not a canned program. So don't make it a canned program. Don't make it a form or a formula. PowerPoints are not a formula. They're things for you to remember, to know the basis, to cover, to where when you get through presenting the gospel, the person has a comprehension of what Jesus has done and why He did it. Okay? And it doesn't take long to do that. We're not talking about any theological messages. We're just talking about simply giving understanding. As a matter of fact, when we do a crusade, we don't even read the Bible. We tell them what the Bible says. We just say this book says. You know, you look at general. You don't give them these Roman road theories and all this type stuff. And you don't dwell a lot on their problem, their sin. We'll get to that a little bit later. But you just say, all of us know that there's sin in us and we need a Savior. You don't need to go back to the Garden of Eden and all this type of stuff, you understand? And give all the dialogue with all that. That's unnecessary. Keep it very concise where people can listen and grasp hold. There's a difference between explanation and proclamation. Proclamation releases the power of God. And that's what you want to do. Okay? So, tell them how to receive. Real simple. Don't you dare say, repeat after me the sinner's prayer. You won't find that in the scriptures. You just pray out of your heart, God be merciful to me, a sinner. and accept Jesus. Don't give them some religious formula. Okay?
So we are.
Simplicity and conciseness. That's the positive results. And you're proclaiming the gospel to get results. You're not talking to hear your head roll.
Mm.
You're looking for results. Okay? With terminology that's understood by the people you're speaking to. I've heard so much stuff. Talking or thinking that. Well, you know, Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, they don't know Romans 10, 13. They don't even know there is a Romans. They may think you're talking about Rome. You don't need to go there. You understand? Cut through the chase. We're looking for results, not to impress people with our knowledge of Scripture. The knowledge of Scripture so you can present the message with simplicity. That's why you need to know the Scriptures. After you get them born again, now you disciple them, you'll start teaching them the Scriptures. You understand? You'll start telling them chapter and verse. But when you're looking at this, and I'm looking basically at heathen, people that don't know Jesus, and there's a lot of heathen out here, I'll promise you that. They ain't been to church, never read the Bible. All they know is just what they've heard. And so you present it with simplicity. Don't try to blow them away with religious jargon. Okay? I'm on a roll here.
Yes.
A friend of mine, we were working with him, and he was doing the speaking, and God had done a tremendous work in this man's deliverance, gang member and all this. And he would go into the schools, but all he would do is talk about his friend. Just talk about his friend. And if you want to know about my friend, you know, come and see me. We're going to be at such and such a church tonight. If you'll come, I'll tell you about my friend. But I'm going to tell you, every one of those assemblies, the presence of God just filled the atmosphere of the place. No scriptures quoted. We're not even talking about God per se. Talking about how my friend would like to get you out of the mess you're in. That's what I mean by don't use terminology to try to impress people. When you get them out of the setting, then the name of Jesus is vital. Okay? But that's to get them to you. All right?
That's good. So let's talk about the guidelines. The following guidelines are for the purpose of presenting the gospel in a chronological order and systematic way. First, tell a man's sin and his need for a Savior.
Keep it concise.
Mm-hmm.
We all know we were born in sin. We all know we need a Savior. We all know that there's somebody out there bigger than we are. So, I want to tell you about Him. And you can just leave it as generic as that. I want to tell you about it. I want to tell you about this God that loves you so much. And then you start telling them about the love of God. You don't bash any religion. You don't tell them they're crazy for following this, that, or the other. You just simply talk about the love of God for humanity. Okay? And don't give them a direct quote of John 3:16. Just tell them what John 3:16 is saying. God loves you so much that He gave His Son for you. All you have to do is believe it. And if you believe in it, you can be set free. That's what I mean by simplicity. That's what I mean by conciseness. Okay?
I think you should keep going.
Excuse me?
Keep going. Virgin birth.
You want me to do it?
I did.
Okay. So, you tell...
Why
you,
stop?
You tell of God's love for mankind, and then you say, you know, God loved you so much He sent His Son. Well, let me tell you a little bit about His Son. there was a young woman, a virgin. And God sent an angel to that virgin. And he told her, he said, you're going to become pregnant and have a son. And he'll be called the Son of the Highest. Name that son Jesus. Okay? And then you tell how 9 months later, she gives birth to this son. But note this, it was a virgin. No man's involved in this. And so God is actually fathering this. This is why he's called God's Son. And so she gives birth to this boy. He's a natural boy, baby. He grows up just like everybody else grows up through all these various stages of life. Yet the remarkable thing about this boy is he never sinned. He never displeased the Heavenly Father. He always pleased God. And by the time he got up to be about 30 years old, you don't go through all the temptations and all this type of stuff, okay? The wilderness and the devil and all that. You just say, by the time he got about 30 years old, he started operating in a very powerful ministry. And he would teach people, they'd be captivated by what he was saying. He'd heal sick people. He would do miracles. I mean, all these diseases and all this type of thing. And then you just incorporate a story. Let me tell you about a paralytic man that the house was so full they couldn't get him in. And the men wanted, they loved the guy so much they wanted him healed. So they tore the tiling off of the roof. And they let this man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus healed this man. And he walked on. You don't have to go into all the theological dialogue of all this. He sold our faith and all this type of stuff. What you're doing is you're getting them excited. That's a possibility. You may tell them another story. You know, there was a woman who'd been hemorrhaging for many years, and she spent all she had on doctors, and she actually grew worse instead of better. And she heard about Jesus. And she heard about the power of the people being healed through the power. She said, "If I can touch him, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed." And she pressed through a crowd. She touched his garment. She was instantly healed. Is that simple enough? That's what we're talking about. You keep it simple. The virgin birth, the sinless life, the powerful ministry. Then, like always, people get jealous. They got so jealous of him because of his powerful ministry that the religious leaders started plotting to have him put to death. And then they went to the governor of the country and they wanted him crucified. And the governor beat him first, a horrible beating. And then the most horrible death you can imagine, by having him nailed to a cross to die a very painful, tormenting death. Well, why would he do that? Because God loves you so much. And there had to be a penalty for sin. The penalty had to be paid. And so Jesus took all your sin on himself. And he died for you. But that's not the end of the story. They buried him. But 3 days later, he came out of the tomb. He was resurrected. As a matter of fact, he walked on the earth for about 40 days before he went back into heaven. And he started telling his disciples, go into all the world and tell them about me. Give this message about Jesus. And if you'll preach this message and they'll believe, the things that's done in this natural ministry I've been telling you about will happen right here tonight. God will heal you if you'll believe it. Jesus wants you healed. Jesus wants you set free. But all you have to do is believe that. And that's his commission. And then after he gave that commission, he went back up into heaven. So he's up there with his Father. And now what he told me is if I would tell you this message and you would believe it, you would get the same results. Pretty simple, isn't it? That didn't take too long to deliver, did it? And that's what you want to do. You want to keep it concise. Okay? You don't have to count down on every detail. You know, he died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended back into heaven, but before he did, he gave this commission. And that's why we're here. To tell you, we're just fulfilling his mandate. And I'm telling you, with what I've just told you right here, miracles happen. Healings happen. Devils are cast out of people, and nobody touches them or says, "Come out, you old devil." The gospel is impregnated with the power of God. Now, don't get egotistical when you say the Lord said if I would come and give you this message. Just say that in simplicity. The whole reason I'm here, why would I come all the way across the ocean? Why would I fly over here? Why would I spend this type of money to tell you this? Because God loves you so much, he wanted me to tell you this message. Put the attention on the love of God to them. You follow me? And so this is how you get this message. And now, once you present that message, be deliberate and let the people respond to the message. Now, how many of you believe the message that I just told you? You know, that's what you're asking for. And they raise their hands just like you did, okay? And so, if you believe this message and you've never been saved, you've never made Jesus Christ your personal Savior, I'm gonna ask you to give you an opportunity, and you just ask the Lord to come into your heart. Just, Lord Jesus, come in my heart and save me. Just simple. Okay? And then once they've done that, say, all right, now, is there anybody here that has sickness, is disease, or anything of that nature you'd like to be healed? Do you believe what we just said about the healing? You know, the paralytic man got healed, the woman with the issue of blood got healed. Multitudes were healed. Multitudes were healed of any and every kind of sickness and disease you can think about. And he'll do the same thing tonight. Do you want to be healed? Do you believe what we just told you? Then lay your hand on whatever part that you need healing for. And then you pray. Father, I thank you for what Jesus Christ has done. I thank you that he took those stripes on his back for the healing of these people. And I'm thanking you that cancers are healed. That heart disease is healed. Diabetes is healed. Tumors disappear. And I'm thanking you that headaches go. Backs are healed. Cripples will walk. Limbs restored. I mean, whatever the Lord's bringing up on the inside of you, just speak it out and declare it just as a proclamation. Now, once you do that, say, all right, now, I want you to start examining yourself. If you had a tumor, just start examining yourself. Do what you couldn't do. If you couldn't bend over, bend over. If you couldn't walk, walk. If you couldn't stretch out your hand, stretch out your hand. Do what you couldn't do. You couldn't move your head, move your head. Just whatever you're being prompted to say. Okay? Like I said, it's no canned program. What you're doing is giving them the opportunity to demonstrate. And I'm going to tell you, it's contagious. Because when a person gets healed over here, a person says, this is the... And then they start getting more serious. And you know, it's an amazing thing because sometimes you never know what happened in a crowd that size. You never know what happens. But you'll see things and you'll hear something a day or two later. And if the crusade like would go for 5 days... Or 5 nights, then you find out something that happened the first day, the fifth night. Or it could be like Jerry and I were sitting in a hotel. He called me up. He said, you up? He said, meet me down here at the restaurant. And so we had to wait for them to open it. And so we were sitting there talking, and Jerry started talking to me about a huge crusade. And how, you know, God had done miraculous things and healings. And I noticed that it was a male waiter, that he was standing over against the wall just like this. And he just kept looking, just staring. And I thought, this guy's eavesdropping on the conversation, you know. But he just stared. And then in a little while, he came over to the table. He said, my sister was healed in that crusade. That was something that had happened like 2 or 3 years prior to that, of epilepsy. Isn't that amazing? You don't even know all the stuff that took place. Listen, God's the record keeper, not you. Put your notepads up so you don't get bragging rights and then start getting lifted up in pride and ego. That's the last thing you want to do. You give God the glory. It's not the man of God, it's the God of man. The power was in the gospel, not in your great anointing. And you need to get those things in perspective, and you give God the glory. Then you let people testify of things that's happened. You know, people have testified, and they've been bound with devils and been active as a temple prostitute and all these things. And the devil came out. They're set free. They feel clean. That's the amazing thing about it. They get it. The cleansing comes from the inside. You understand? Now their mind's clear. They're not operating in guilt and all this type stuff. But they have to believe the message, and they're not going to believe the message if you don't. You have to be convincing. And I'm not talking about sales pitch. I'm talking about conviction. I know in whom I believe. That's what Paul said. I know. I'm not ashamed to proclaim the gospel to you. And then they're to do what the message says to do. Then we lead people to salvation. We identify and affirm those who receive salvation. Lead people into healing and deliverance. And by giving them whatever instruction that you're being prompted to give. And then, as I said earlier, take authority over sickness and disease and bondage. Jesus said, what you bind, I bind. What you loose, I loose. What you bind on earth, bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, loose in heaven. The Lord spoke it to me this way. He said, what you allow, I allow. What you disallow, I'll disallow. You stop it, I'll stop it. You stop it here, I'll make sure it's stopped in the spirit world. But we want God to move first. No, it's our move. We move and He confirms. You understand? The confirmation follows. It doesn't go ahead. And so we have to give this proclamation and give this proclamation very clearly, very concise. And then we conclude by giving the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you'll tell people a lot of times, like they come up to testify, you know, what's been done. You know, this was the first time I've been able to walk. I can see. I was blind. I can see. I was deaf. I can hear. And then you just say, isn't that a wonderful thing that God would love you so much that He would open your blind eye? Would you want to serve a God like that? And inevitably, they're going to say yes. And if they haven't accepted Him, right there, just give them the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. Don't tell them they have to get saved before they get healed. Get them healed. They want to get saved. Get a doctrine right. Not a formula. Don't try to memorize some package. That's the last thing we want you to do. Know your PowerPoints. You understand? But you don't have to make a headline out of it. I don't think we headlined anything. But virgin birth, sinless life, powerful ministry, you know, the suffering, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, ascension, your commission. It's pretty simple. The gospel is simple. That's why it's powerful. It's not bogged down with stuff. It's just simple. You don't have to do anything but believe. Wind it up. Okay. We'll stop right there. You can take your break, okay? I was into it.